So here's the thing. I've got a question. What matters to voters in the midterms? This last year and a half has already been filled with drama.
The porn star continuing to plague the presidency, Stormy Daniels.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions is now firing back.
Manigault was physically dragged and escorted off the campus.
Breaking news, Steve Bannon leaving the White House.
Hearing a recording of President Trump and his personal lawyer, Michael Cohen.
And unpredictability.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
We're going to see what happens.
We're going to see what happens.
We'll see what happens. No particular rush.
And yet, voters seem to have chosen sides, dug in, and they don't seem to be moved by anything or anyone. Since the beginning of this year until now, Donald Trump's overall approval ratings have held steady, between 39 and 43%. And even as the president has broken with many GOP traditions and has been chastised by members of his own party, Republican voters have stuck by him. And then last night, we get the news about Cohen and the Russia meeting. And once again, pundits and cable TV shows will ask, is this it? Is this the thing that will define 2018? And if not, what will? Claire Malone is a senior political writer for 538, and I want to talk to her about this. Hi, Claire.
Hi. Great to be here.
I am so happy that you're here. I want to ask you that overall question, which it seems to me that every minute something new comes out, and yet we're not seeing in polling that voters are reacting to it. So how do we know what's moving voters and what's not?
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing to watch happen. And I think my caveat before I say all these things is that, you know, we're still in the summer, and a lot of people, when pollsters call them, you know, they're not necessarily thinking about who exactly they're going to vote for in November. So we start to pay much closer attention in the fall. But I think one thing that we're really noticing is that Americans care a lot about immigration, and they care a lot about the direction of the government. And this is coming from Gallup does these numbers every month that are the most important question numbers. And usually, I think people always think Americans put, you know, the economy at the top of the heap. And that's actually not the case in these numbers over the past couple of months. It's people care about immigration, obviously the child separation policy and Trump. And also people care about the government broadly, whether or not the government is going in the right direction. And then they care about things like race and unity of the country. So I think it's kind of interesting that they're almost sort of these emotional existential questions and then immigration. And that's kind of what's moving voters right now.
Yeah. And so, Claire, it just seems like literally we have all of this movement every day in terms of what's in front of voters news-wise.
Yeah.
And yet we don't see like that much movement. So should we just stop pretending that at some point the president is suddenly going to become really, really popular or really, really unpopular, that there's going to be this one thing, this one issue that everybody's going to go, okay, this is it? Because I feel like I get that question all the time. What is it going to be? Are voters going to break? Or are they just going to kind of sit here forever and ever and ever?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I think my default would be to say, well, people are probably going to sit here on the line, barring something huge, some huge revelation coming out before the November midterms. I actually think that if something perhaps new with the Russia investigation comes out closer to the election, September, October. We always talk about the October surprise. It could happen in a midterm election. And I think some revelation there could move, perhaps not all Republicans, but a certain sector of Republicans who at 538 we kind of refer to as reluctant Trump voters. So more traditional, let's call them country club tasseled loafers, college educated, suburban dwelling Republicans who were never on board with Trump's stylistic elements, but are kind of, you know, good soldiers of the party and voted for their guy. If something happens with Mueller that proves perhaps there was Trump campaign collusion, that could change some people. I mean, I think you saw a lot of really emotional reaction to the president's press conference in Helsinki with Vladimir Putin. You know, you saw members of the Republican establishment kind of take the president to task either by name or basically by name, which is actually quite unusual. And even though a lot of them have sort of said, okay, well, he apologized for it, we're still tough on Russia. I do think that that issue is one that could move people, especially if Republican leadership and, you know, rolling down the waterfall, let's say places like Fox News, the conservative media, if they then sort of switch on the president, that could make a real change in the election. But I do think it takes almost not just an event, but an event happening and then the Republican leadership interpreting it and conservative media interpreting it, and then how the Republican electorate interprets it.
538, you guys are known best for the number crunching and reading all the, you know, micro level data. What are you guys looking for then when we think about understanding this election, understanding perceptions of the president and what it could mean for 2018?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I guess overall I would say with the midterms, what we've tended to really watch is, okay, so the president's base is pretty steady. And I think we're sort of watching what Democrats are doing, what the level of enthusiasm is mm-hmm. for, you know, I hate to put it this way, but more quote-unquote non-traditional candidates, because you see more and more women running and more minorities running, which is frankly an aberration in some ways for American politics. And so I think the real, like, test of the midterms, which with sort of a bit of an eye to 2020, is, all right, what really excites the base of the Democratic Party and makes them turn out in, let's say, Barack Obama, a level type numbers, 2008, 2012? How do these candidates play? How do these women candidates play? Are they turning out these base of, frankly, pretty activated, let's say, college-educated, suburban white women? Or let's look at the case of Georgia and Stacey Abrams, who's the first black female candidate running for governor. Is the state's minority Democratic base going to turn out in the way that they did for, you know, again, Barack Obama? So I think we're kind of watching what's happening on the Democratic side, because you're seeing, I think, a lot of shifts in the conventional wisdom of what works in a political campaign. And I think that's really interesting to watch the Democrats kind of figuring out, well, who's going to turn out in these midterms to beat Trump? Because I often think about the Republican base is sort of staying static.
Claire Malone, thank you for coming in.
Of course, it was a pleasure.
That's Claire Malone, senior political writer for 538.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.